I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. With the new year comes a new session for Missouri lawmakers in Jefferson City. This hour, we'll get some reactions to Governor Jay Nixon's State of the State address. We'll check in with two Missouri state senators, and we'll chat with Missouri Secretary of State Jason Kander about early voting, ethics reform, and other major issues that will be up for debate this year. But we'll start the hour with a remembrance of Adele Hall, who some call the First Lady of Kansas City. It's Up to Date, following this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Now, here's the question. If you're a lawmaker in Jefferson City, would you take $8 billion from the federal government if it meant you had to spend $300 million in the years ahead? Governor Jay Nixon is saying, you bet. Some Republican lawmakers are saying, no way. The issue is the expansion of Medicaid, the health care program for the poor. It's all part of President Barack Obama's health care reform plan. That's not the only issue this year. The governor once again is talking about putting caps on campaign donations and about early childhood education and longer school years and more money for universities. Today, a look at the governor's State of the State address that he delivered last night at the Capitol. Joining us is one of the leading authorities on Missouri government and politics, George Conner, a political scientist at Missouri State University, to talk about Governor Jay Nixon's fifth State of the State address last night. George, good morning. Always good to have you here.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
How did Governor Nixon do last night when it comes to laying out all these priorities that he talked about? What's your overall sense?
Well, my overall sense is I think Governor Nixon has gotten better. Every State of the State address, he's improved, you know, in terms of his delivery. I think he's cut out some of the humor that didn't always go so well. And I think he did a pretty good job of encapsulating his goals. You know, the big question is whether the legislature is going to buy into those same goals.
I guess the issue, as it has been throughout his tenure in office, he's a Democratic governor. He's going up against the most Republican legislature in terms of an opposite party dominance of any state in the country. It's a very unusual situation. Did anything surprise you, or is this pretty much what this speech was billed to be last night, George?
I don't think there were too many surprises. I think he pulled a few tricks out of the bag with respect to the Medicaid argument. I think the notion of it was the people's money going to Washington, D.C., we should bring that back to the state, sort of a popular approach trying to get the people behind this idea, and, you know, throwing out the option of, you know, taking all this back if the, you know, D.C. doesn't fulfill its promises in with respect to Medicaid, you know, sort of getting out in front of a Republican opposition. But I'm not sure that it's going to be enough.
His big throw, as you're pointing out last night, was this giant expansion of Medicaid, all a part of Obamacare. He says it just makes sense for Missouri. Republicans, though, say it's an expansion of government that doesn't make any sense. The federal government will pay 90% of the cost of this program going forward after about the first 3 years when it pays 100%. How is this going to play out? What's your sense of the dynamics in Jefferson City? Will Governor Nixon get what he wants here, George?
My guess right now is no. I think that there's two possibilities that could help the governor. One is when Governor Blunt made the cuts 8 years ago, it hurt Republicans as well. I mean, because many of the people who utilize these services are grandma and grandpa in small towns. And so there was a hit. We tend to think of this as an urban issue. Medicaid is an urban problem. But there were some Republicans that are more rural-based are sensitive to this issue. And then the governor also has the Chamber of Commerce and the hospital associations on his side in this, you know, arguing for job creation. And that certainly is something that should appeal to the Republican legislature. But I think the business argument, Chamber of Commerce, Hospital Association, you know, notwithstanding, I think the ideology and the politics of the Chamber, the General Assembly in general, are going to trump whatever Governor Nixon wants to do.
You know, I think there's a lot to that, George, but, you know, I still can't help but wonder, you know, in rural districts all across Missouri, which Republicans dominate, there are lots of rural hospitals out there headed by folks who are demanding that their lawmakers go ahead and approve this if they want to keep and save their local rural hospital in place for years to come.
Well, Steve, I think that is the key. I think how much pressure the local hospital or the hospital associations and those associated groups bring to bear on the Republicans, again, especially the rural Republicans. But the rural Republicans are also going to be the most ideological in this issue in terms of big government versus small government, the influence of the Tea Party. Most of the challenges that we have seen to incumbent Republicans have been from the right. And so I think they're that much more sensitive to that big government issue today than they were even 8 years ago.
We're visiting with George Conner, a political scientist at Missouri State University, about Governor Jay Nixon's fifth State of the State address last night. You know, Republicans are saying the cost of this Medicaid program, George, is too high, even though the federal government will pay 90% of it. Can you shed any light on this? I mean, would that be the 10%? Would that be too much for the state to pick up in this day and age? Or what do you make of that?
It's hard to say how much that 10% will cost ultimately. Governor Nixon and the Democrats are relying on economic growth. I think we have been in a zero-sum game, you know, maybe zero-sum loss over the last number of years. So even if all things being equal, even the 10% would be difficult for the state of Missouri to absorb. I think there's a valid argument to make there.
Even 10% is like hundreds of millions of dollars, right? That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give people a sense of that. You know, the governor doesn't put himself out there to this extent very often, pushing a major issue like this that's a difficult issue. How big of a test is this ultimately going to be for him, George?
I think this is a huge test in terms of whether Governor Nixon has future aspirations or whether he just wants to leave a legacy here in Missouri over the next 4 years. I think this is a crucial test. I mean, Governor Nixon has been criticized by both Republicans and Democrats for the lack of leadership, whether it's on this issue or the other issue that was prominent last night with respect to tax credits. I think the legislature has been looking to the governor to lead exactly the way he suggested he would last night. So I think this is a crucial test.
He also issued a pretty direct threat on reforming the way campaigns are run in Missouri. He said either lawmakers pass a cap on donations, Missouri is one of the few states with no limits on donations, or he'll try to pass a new law via a statewide initiative. That's pretty tough talk. He's saying either you do it or I'm going to ram it down your throats, essentially, by taking this to the people.
I more so than the Medicaid, I think that was the most outspoken we have seen the governor in 4 years. I mean, he was, you know, really sticking his thumb in the eye of the legislature. In part, this is a response to a Supreme Court ruling that affected the ethics law, and certainly we've seen the ethics being more debated between the Democrats and Republicans over the last 4 years. But I think this is the most vehement we've seen the governor on any issue in 4 years.
I mean, you know, people in Missouri can make donations of $100,000 or $500,000, and we've seen those kinds of donations in Missouri. If the legislature won't go along with it, how tough, how realistic is it to assume the governor could get this passed through some kind of initiative process?
Well, I think the governor is right if the issue is framed correctly. I think, given the population bases in Kansas City and St. Louis, I think the odds of passing distribution limits through initiative and referendum is more likely than not. But the real question is the opposition. What will they bring to bear in terms of how much money they're going to kick in to oppose this? But we saw the same thing, say, with conceal and carry. The people passed it, but the legislature ultimately overturned it. Same thing with puppy mills. So I'm not sure that just because we go around the legislature and pass an initiative and referendum that that's the end of the story.
I was going to say, we forget sometimes, though, that back in the mid to late 90s, there was a statewide vote on campaign limits, and those limits passed overwhelmingly. People wanted to put a clamp on donations in Missouri, and you get the sense that if you can get it before the voters, it probably would pass and pass easily.
I think it would pass this time, and I think the Republicans are also sensitive on this issue, maybe not the campaign limits, but certainly the issue of committee-to-committee transfers and some of the other shenanigans that have caught Republicans off guard as well.
Well, that's George Conner. He's a political scientist from Missouri State University, and he joins us periodically to sort of explain to us what's going on in Jefferson City. And, George, always good to have you. Thanks for taking some time.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Now joining us are two members of the Missouri General Assembly, both from the Kansas City area. State Senator Jolie Justice is a Kansas City Democrat and Senate Minority Leader who technically represents an eastern Missouri district these days. More on that in a little bit. And Senator Justice, always good to have you, too. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be here.
Also with us today is Senator Will Krause. He's a Lee's Summit Republican. Senator, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, for those of us, and Senator Krause, let's start with you, who weren't there last night in the chamber for the big speech, how was the speech received? What's your overall sense, Will?
I believe that the governor always gives a good speech, solid points. There are things we agree with and things that we don't agree with.
What were the areas, Senator Krause, that drew applause from both sides of the aisle, and what were the areas that drew applause from just one side of the aisle?
Well, I think the overall that drew applause on both is whenever he talked about the military in general. I think both sides of the aisle are very supportive of our military. But he also, when he talked about tax credit reform or making sure government is the right size or downsizing government, those are the areas that I think that were on the positive side. The things that only drew from one side would be the Medicaid expansion, and that's pretty much the biggest one.
Senator Justice, did you see it pretty much the same way?
I did. I mean, there was obviously a discrepancy in applause when it also came to reinstating contribution campaign limits as well. So, but I think as far as those areas where we had consensus, a lot of support for tax credit reform, and then obviously a lot of support for spending in the education arena. I think that the governor got quite a bit of applause when it came to talking about increasing early childhood education funding, K through 12, and higher ed.
Those are areas where the parties can work together, right, Senator Justice?
That's my hope.
Yeah. You know, my sense, you both have seen Governor Nixon and witnessed all of his previous State of the State addresses. My sense was this speech was a little more aggressive, a little more far-reaching, a little more assertive when it comes to where he wants to take this state. Senator Krause, am I seeing that correctly?
I would agree. I think that the last few speeches have been more about rhetoric, and I do believe this governor's ready to lead on a few issues, and you mentioned him earlier in the earlier program, but yeah, I think he's looking to do something different this time that he wasn't doing the last couple of years.
Jolie?
You know, one of the things we heard after President Obama gave his inauguration speech is that he showed his true liberal colors, is what some had to say. I don't think we saw anything like that from Governor Nixon. I don't think that we saw anything that would be considered kind of throwing down the gauntlet with the majority party in the legislature. I do think that he was aggressive on those areas that he very much supports. But I think he also pointed out over and over again that he's willing to work with the majority party, and if they have ideas, bring them forward. I really do think that with the exception of a couple of hot-button issues, our governor and the majority of the legislature agree on most issues.
Now, Senator Justice, it did strike me that he threw down the gauntlet on one issue, and we talked to George Conner about this a few minutes ago, this whole putting a cap on campaign donations in Missouri. Again, you know, richer folks can give donations of $100,000 or $300,000 or even $500,000. There's no limit. Very few states allow that. And Governor Nixon said last night, he looked out at you all and said, basically, if you don't pass this thing, I'm going to take it to the people and we'll pass it through an initiative. That's pretty strong talk.
That is very strong talk, and I think a lot of us were curious at how that would actually take shape and form. What would his role be in the what has traditionally been a direct democracy type process through the initiative petition or the changing of the Constitution? So I hope that we'll have the opportunity to have that conversation this session. I think that it does have some amount of bipartisan support. I know that I have a bill, and there are other Republican bills sprinkled around the Capitol that would put in common sense campaign campaign caps, and I hope that we have that conversation so that we don't have to go through the expense of fighting that on the ground.
Senator Will Krause from Lee's Summit, how did that message on campaign donation caps go down with your party, the Republican Party, last night? How was that message received?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure you know that I've already sponsored an ethics bill that have campaign contribution limits on them.
Yes, I do.
And so I'm, even though I was in the General Assembly and I voted against the removal of the caps when it was passed several years ago, I think there are some people that are very much opposed to it. So I think we have a definite uphill battle on getting something through the General Assembly. But I do think that if it does go to the initiative petition process and the voters get a chance to vote on it, there will be caps.
Well, let me put you on the spot here. And again, you've already explained that you have a bill that would remove, put a cap on some of these donations out there. What is the argument by some of your colleagues in the Republican caucus to keep no cap on these donations and allow for $500,000 contributions from wealthy folks for one cause or one candidate or another in Missouri? That's so unusual in our politics. Why would anyone back that given the appearance that it gives to voters out there?
But I think for two things. Number one, freedom of speech. You shouldn't limit someone's ability to support their candidate of choice. Number two would be the I'm going to pull a Governor Perry moment here.
It happens. Well, I mean, what percentage of the Republican caucus in the Senate still backs current law, which is no limits on campaign donations?
What percent?
Yeah,
I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 75. The other point I was going to make was transparency. The argument that the most Republicans will use is if you limit contribution limits, what they'll do is they will funnel the money through other committees, and this makes it much more transparent on who's giving the candidate the money. That's their overall argument.
You know, and Senator Justice, if there is one argument on behalf of no campaign limits, it's just what Senator Krause said, which is this transparency issue. At least you know where the money's coming from. It's not being hidden through a shell game that often goes on in Jeff City through various campaign committees. The money's transferred from one committee to another, and you never know where the money's coming from.
Yeah, it's an incredibly difficult issue. I mean, as a civil libertarian, I have a difficult time kind of squaring away the issue of the freedom of speech. But at the same time, Steve, I think that if we were to come up with just a rock-solid ethics bill that prevented all of these committee-to-committee transfers and all of the shenanigans that people go through to hide the money, then the caps would make sense. I do like transparency, so let's put that into legislation and then also cap the contributions.
Go ahead, Will.
I would say that the thing with that is you can never stop a person from running their own campaign. So if somebody wants to give the money, they may just set up a third-party committee to run the ads. You might be able to stop the money going directly to a candidate and letting that candidate use the money how they see fit, but you can't stop a person from running ads and doing media.
We're visiting with two state senators from the Kansas City area, State Senator Julie Justice, a Kansas City Democrat, and Senator Will Krause, who's a Lee Summit Republican, about Governor Jay Nixon's big State of the State address last night. Let's turn to the Medicaid issue, which is really the huge issue that looms this legislative session. Senator Krause, what's so complicated about this proposal? I mean, if the federal government is offering $8 billion to expand health care coverage to 300,000 Missourians in exchange for an outlay in future years of about $300 million, why wouldn't lawmakers jump on that? Because the math, at least on paper, makes so much sense.
Well, number one, it's an expansion of government. Number two, we don't know what it's really going to cost. If you start looking at 5-6 years down the road, what we don't know all the rules. All the rules haven't been written. They want to say it's only going to cost $300 million. That's the first time I've heard that number was from you. I think it's going to cost a lot more than that. We as Republicans want to make sure that we're being able to pay for a program before we start it. In 2005, the Republicans cut Medicaid and got a whole bunch. They cut Medicaid because the budget wasn't. We didn't have the funding, and it was really a bad thing in the press. So before we go and expand something and have to go cut back later on, we want to make sure we can pay for it.
But Senator Krause, Governor Nixon said it again last night. If Missouri doesn't grab this money, it'll simply be spent by another state. He says this is Missouri's share of this federal new federal health care law. What about that?
I don't believe that's the case. I think that if we don't spend it, then that money won't be spent. I think that's often the argument from the other side. We need to take this money because it'll be spent in other states. I believe that the federal government is spending way too much money. In fact, we're putting our children in debt, and I think it's irresponsible of them to continue to spend money that they don't have, and I think it's irresponsible for us as a state government to take money that we know that the federal government doesn't have.
Senator Julie Justice, what do you say to all this? What's your point of view on the expansion of Medicaid in Missouri?
Steve, my point of view is this. Congress passed Obamacare. The president signed it. The Supreme Court upheld it. It's the law of the land. It would be foolish of us to leave that money on the table and have our taxpayers hold the bag for the increase of health access to states all around us and not take part of that. Additionally, I do believe that this is going to be a huge jobs bill. I think we're going to put a lot of people to work with this. And I think that the concern that the federal government might leave us holding the bag for this, let's do what the governor suggested. Let's put a trigger in the bill that says if we ever get to a point where the federal government does not fund this at the level that they say they will, then we are going to step back and reevaluate. I think those are safeguards that we can put in that make sense. I think that we could also, in a bipartisan manner, come up with some reform to go along with the Medicaid expansion that will actually deliver a cost savings to the state that most people in the state are going to have a hard time saying no to, because I think we can really put together a package that is going to save the state of Missouri money going forward. It's going to put people back to work. And I think in the end, we're going to be able to reach some sort of compromise.
Well, Senator Justice, help me with that a little bit, because as Senator Krause just said, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, the state of Missouri, if we go along with what the governor wants to do, would have to come up with hundreds of millions of dollars. Maybe we don't know the exact number yet, $300, $400, $500 million to fund this expansion of Medicaid. Does the state of Missouri, do you anticipate the state having that kind of money to support this program in an era when it's cut Medicaid, even in recent years?
I think that there are conservative, in my opinion, estimates out there from several organizations that say we're actually going to save money. It's not going to be something that we have to come up with the money, that by doing these things now, we're going to be saving money in the future. Additionally, you cannot underestimate putting that many people to work in such high-paying jobs. I mean, all of these things are going to move forward. You can't look at one issue in a vacuum.
Senator Krause, Senator Justice is saying it's a jobs bill. You're going to expand the health care coverage for 300,000 Missourians who need health care coverage. How can you argue with all that, Will?
Well, I'm for private jobs, not for public jobs. These jobs typically, they're great jobs, and I would love to have any job we can get in the state of Missouri. I don't believe that's the case in this. That's the way they're trying to move this this agenda and try to move the expansion of government. This is an expansion of government. Missouri voters voted twice against the Affordable Care Act, and we overwhelmingly supported Mitt Romney in the state of Missouri, and I believe it was on this issue. And Missourians are against the expansion of government, and I think that that's what we need to keep talking about.
Now, Senator Justice, to Senator Krause's point here, there was that vote a few years ago on Obamacare and how folks in Missouri feel about it, and 3 out of 4 said, no, we don't like it. What about that?
Well, there have been 2 votes, Steve, and the first one actually had to do with the individual mandate. And specifically, yeah, there was a very high turnout in that primary, and the majority of folks who turned out in that primary voted against not Obamacare but the individual mandate.
Okay.
In my opinion, if you were to ask the average person on the street what they feel about exactly what we're doing and not any of the politics behind this, that they would overwhelmingly support this. But unfortunately, we don't have people turn out to the polling place and those numbers.
That's the voice of State Senator Julie Justice. She's a Kansas City Democrat. She's a Senate Minority Leader. We're also joined for a few more minutes by State Senator Will Krause, who's a Lee's Summit Republican. Senator Krause, I'm wondering about the politics of all this. A lot of Republicans were saying before the session that this idea was dead on arrival. Now the governor obviously is out very publicly for this, and the Missouri Hospital Association is working rural lawmakers on this, saying many of their out-of-state hospitals, out-state hospitals need this program. What are the odds of passing this, and are those odds changing given the pressure that's building on Republican lawmakers?
You know, I would say the odds are low that we would take a bill up that would expand Medicaid. I think that the greater chances we'd take a bill up that would support our rural hospitals. And that wouldn't necessarily be expansion of Medicaid. It may be funding for those rural hospitals in other ways.
Is there money for that laying around, Senator Krause?
Yeah, I don't think there's money for that. We currently aren't funding our school funding formula. We're about $400 to $500 million short there. So, no, there's not money for that. The question is how can we pass – I mean, I'm not the one that's pushing this legislation, so I don't know the intricacies. You asked me what the likelihood of a bill passing was, and I just tell you that I would look at – the fact that we would support our rural hospitals before we expand Medicaid.
Senator Krause, how aggressively is the Hospital Association working this issue? And the Missouri Chamber of Commerce is also involved backing this expansion. What are you seeing out there when it comes to pressure, Will?
You know, we have several meetings every day in our office, and inevitably there are usually one or two that will talk about the Medicaid expansion or the proposal moving forward. So there's a lot of pressure. We usually don't have that kind of pressure. And you know, the jobs opinion and the push for using the federal dollars is always good to put forth to try to get people to move on this. But I go back to the fact that many of us in the Senate and some in the House, we're here in 2005 when we had to make those difficult decisions to cut Medicaid, and to now to reverse that, that's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah. Senator Justice, how much pressure are you seeing out there on your Republican colleagues, and what difference do you think that might make going forward?
Well, I think the Missouri Hospital Association did a smart thing at the beginning of this election cycle, and they went out to the leadership of the Republican Party and said, hey, look, don't let your members get out on a limb on this issue, because they may be put in a situation where some of these rural hospitals could have to close if we don't do this Medicaid expansion. So you don't want them out there on the campaign trail saying, hey, I'm gonna die on this sword. We are not going to expand Medicaid, and then be put into a situation where they have to take a vote. Either their local hospital closes or they expand Medicaid. And so I think they did a good job of laying the groundwork early of making sure that folks didn't put themselves out on that limb. And now I think the situation is where we need to be as a state, which is let's discuss what this looks like. I don't hear anybody saying absolutely no to this, that it's totally off the table. There may be a couple here and there, but the majority of the people in this building, and there's 197 of us that are legislators, are at least leaving a little window of opportunity open there, and that's where I think we'll be able to make a big difference.
So in your view, Senator Justice, there's still a little bit of hope here.
I think so. I mean, this is a long legislative session. This is an issue that, as you mentioned, Steve, has huge support from the business community. Every single business community that comes down here to Jefferson City, whether it be the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, Kansas City, Springfield, St. Louis, I mean, Joplin, all of these chambers of commerce are coming out saying, we've got to get this done. That sort of support from the business community on top of all of the healthcare folks, it's really going to make it a difficult issue to sweep under the rug, and I think that we will continue to have this conversation. What I think we need to do, though, is we need to be prepared not just to say, okay, we're going to accept what they've done in D.C., because that's not where Missouri is. What we need to be ready to do is say, okay, we want to get to Medicaid expansion, but what can we do to implement cost savings so that this isn't such a difficult pill for folks to swallow? If we can get to a bill that Republican legislators and Democratic legislators can take back to their districts and say, we are saving money by expanding Medicaid, I think it's going to be a hard thing for people to say no to.
You know, a different issue. Senator Krause, a lot of Republicans were highly critical of the governor last week over the state's purchase of a new $5.6 million airplane that lawmakers apparently didn't know about. What was your concern about that, and how is this playing down in the state capitol?
Well, there's a huge concern. Last year, I was set on appropriations, and there was an opportunity for the PSC to get a new car, and the PSC has its own fund through our utility bills, and we, as an appropriations committee, decided not to give them that car because we were at the point looking at cutting higher education by $100 million. It doesn't look right to buy a car and cut higher ed by $100 million. We're still not funding elementary and secondary education by almost $500 million, and yet we go out and buy a new plane. I think that sends the wrong signal. I think that number two was never debated or discussed in appropriations. So I think that you're going to see the appropriation process continue to lock down the governor and not give him these opportunities to go out and do these kind of purchases. We took away a lot of the E's, which for people that don't know, E gives the governor a little bit of flexibility to be able to spend more money than an exact amount.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're gonna move towards more caps, saying this is the most you can spend in this area, and take these revolving funds, which is what this plane was bought with a revolving fund, and we're gonna probably sweep them in the future and not have as much money available and kind of locking down a little bit.
Senator Justice, was this a misstep by the governor?
Again, it just depends. I mean, first of all, it's my understanding that the plane was needed. And so it is what it is. Second of all, it's my understanding that this money, it was completely appropriate for this money to be used in this fashion. Whether or not it was a good political move on behalf of the governor, I'm going to stay silent on. I mean, right now it doesn't seem so, but like so many of these things, they tend to blow over. So I think the reality is that nothing inappropriate happened. Whether or not it was a savvy political move, I think history will tell us that as we get further along in session.
Senator Justice, just 20 seconds left here. Are we going to see income tax cuts in Missouri this year to help the state better compete with Kansas because of the border wars here in your backyard or not?
I suspect if we have any tax cuts, they will need to be revenue neutral in the sense that we need to find revenue streams to pay for those tax cuts. That's what I'm hearing from both Republicans and Democrats.
Well, I want to thank State Senators Jolie Justice and Senator Will Krause for joining us this morning. Guys, thanks for taking the time. We always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Good luck down there. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll visit with the newly minted Secretary of State of the state of Missouri, Jason Kander, a former Democratic lawmaker from here in Kansas City. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Now joining us is Missouri's new Secretary of State, Jason Kander, who's a former Democratic lawmaker from the Kansas City area. Jason was elected in November. And Mr. Secretary, welcome back to the show. Congratulations, and it's great to have you again.
Always good to be on, Steve.
Well, I've lost track of the stat, Mr. Secretary, but aren't you the youngest statewide official in the country this year?
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, can I ask how old you are?
I'm 31.
Are you old enough to handle a responsibility like this, Jason, at 31?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At 31, I'm not sure I would even know what the Secretary of State's office was when I was that age.
Well, to be honest, the way I've always looked at it is that as far as, handling responsibility, frankly, after having served in Afghanistan and led soldiers over there at 24, I've really ever since just kind of felt like I was up for every challenge, to be honest.
Well, and that's a very good perspective to put on something like this. I'm wondering, how daunting is it to take over an office with as many employees and responsibilities as the Secretary of State of Missouri has right now?
Well, I mean, things are going great so far. We've put together a really strong team of creative people who are committed to public service, and I'm very confident that we're going to continue to be able to do great things for Missouri. We have several commissions and initiatives that we've started that I believe are really going to help Missourians and make sure that their government remains open and honest.
Talk to us about those. What are you talking about?
On the very first day, for instance, we announced that we're going to create a commission to look at casting ballots prior to Election Day in the state. The commission will give us recommendations on the most fair, efficient, and secure way to allow eligible Missourians to cast a ballot prior to Election Day. As you know, Steve, Missouri is currently one of only 15 states that does not have some form of no-excuse absentee or early voting. And it's my belief that we need to move forward on some form of secure advanced voting. And what I want from the commission is to let me know the feasibility of the different options so that we can eventually present the best of those options to the legislature.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that because obviously that's a very big issue on your plate, and so many Missourians talk about why can Kansas do it, but why can't Missouri? And I'm wondering, you know, two of your predecessors, your last two predecessors, Matt Blunt, a Republican, and Robin Carnahan, a Democrat, both favored early voting and tried to get it passed and couldn't. What makes you think that you can get this thing through this time around?
Well, you're right. It's an issue that's been in front of the legislature for years, and there does seem to be bipartisan need for it, a belief in that. And so I think now it should be about determining the best way to move forward. And that's why I believe that a fresh look will help. And so in order to do that, we're going to bring together local election officials, other elected office holders, business leaders, additional stakeholders, so that we can get a wide variety of opinions and perspectives on how best to implement this. Because you're absolutely right. It is something that we have known as a state for a while that we need to do. So now we should drill down and figure out exactly what is the best way to move forward so that we can take a very serious run at it.
You know, how big of a hill do you have to climb here, though? Because Republicans who control the General Assembly in overwhelming numbers, veto-proof numbers, are saying to themselves, we're getting elected without advance voting. Why should we risk our majorities by changing the setup we have now?
Well, at the end of the day, it's like anything else. I mean, what I'm counting on is the fact that all over the state, people want this, and that includes the constituents of both Republicans and Democrats. And, as I traveled the state over the last year, what I was really excited by was the fact that, it's not just that in the urban areas people are interested in this. It's particularly in the rural areas as well, because, for instance, I talked to somebody the other day who told me that their parents live in a rural part of Missouri and that they traveled 22 miles on election day in order to vote. And when you think about that, I mean, that's somebody who, if they don't have an opportunity to cast a ballot prior to election day, if there is bad weather or anything like that, that's someone who is likely to be disenfranchised by the fact that they don't have that opportunity prior to election day. And so, to me, what I'm looking forward to is making sure that everyone understands that this really isn't a partisan issue. It's just an issue of making sure that we deliver on a promise that we've made to all of our constituents.
Well, speaking of voting in bad weather, we do our primaries in Missouri and in Kansas in early August, and then, of course, the general election is in November. What about expanding the number of days of folks can vote in November or even in August so that you can skip around bad weather if that should hit? Where do prospects for that idea lay these days?
Well, I think that's something that it's one of the things that I want this commission to look at, because that's obviously, having more than one day where it's possible to cast a ballot is something that I think alleviates a lot of challenges.
And so you would favor the idea then, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, I think what we're both talking about is advance voting.
Mm-hmm. Just in a different form. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you want to do with the office, Jason? Where else do you want to take it?
Well, another thing that we announced on the very first day is we launched the Business Services Outreach Office. And with this office, what we're hoping to do is make it easier for Missourians to start a small business and then also set them up to be more likely to have success. We've spoken to a lot of people across the state, and we found that there are plenty of people who aren't aware of the steps that they need to take in order to get a small business up and running, and then also to avoid some of the common pitfalls. And what I mean is, that they might be able to say, hey, I want to start a small business, and here are the forms that I need to fill out. But then there's a gap between that period and the next steps that they need to take. So our goal is to connect these small business owners with people, organizations, and other agencies across the state that can help them bridge that gap and help them take those next steps so they can have a greater likelihood of succeeding. In addition to that, in addition to the Business Outreach Office, you probably saw the other day that we announced that we have we're going to put initiative petitions online. So once the form of the petition is approved, we're going to put the initiative petition up on our website for everyone to see. And at the same time, we're going to open up a 5-day public comment period that will allow Missourians to provide observations for my office to consider when we're drafting the ballot language. And then we'll have 10 days after the form of the petition is approved to review those comments and then draft the ballot summary language.
You know, the business outreach office that you mentioned, when will that service be ready and up and operating for Missourians, Jason?
It's operating now.
How did you manage to do that so quickly?
Well, I had a plan, back during the campaign, came up with this plan and talked about it on the campaign trail. And what we did is we used existing staff within the office, and so it's available now. It's something that is really it's not a reactive office; it's more of a proactive office. So right now, what the people out of business services are doing is reaching out to folks who are starting businesses in Missouri and then connecting them with these organizations. So and it'll only flourish more and more as we go forward.
How many employees do you have in the Missouri Secretary of State's office?
We have about 250. There's about 235, I believe, that work out of Jefferson City.
Hmm. How did you go about sort of making the transition from candidate for the office to a victor in the race to actually transitioning into the office just a couple of weeks ago? How did you go about it? Did you begin the process during the transition, and what did you do?
Well, for me, a lot of it started, frankly, prior to, I just had great people with transition, just as I have great people now in the office, and that really helped us hit the ground running. But to be honest, a lot of it began before transition because, one of the things about the campaign that we ran was we just spent an enormous amount of time on the road. And as you know, my chief of staff, Abe Rakoff, was also my campaign manager. And so, it would be fair to say that we spent a substantial amount of time together driving the roads of Missouri. And while we were doing that, we were obviously very excited about the possibility of winning the race and getting to put our vision into action. And so we had, frankly, gotten pretty deep into the weeds about everything that we wanted to do. And so once we won, it just became a matter of really putting that down on paper and I guess more than that, really putting the team in place to execute the plan.
You weren't supposed to win that race, Jason.
Well, there's plenty of people who felt that way for sure. there were, I think, a few surprised folks the next morning.
I'm wondering, we're visiting with the new Missouri Secretary of State, Jason Kander. I'm wondering about your legislative agenda this year, Jason. You've been very involved in crafting campaign finance reform over the years. How hard are you going to push that this time from your post as Secretary of State?
Well, very hard. I was very pleased last night when the governor again mentioned the need for campaign finance reform in the state of the state. I'm a really big believer in the idea that clean elections don't start on election day. I think that having a campaign finance system that is fair is a really, really important part of our elections. And we are, I always remind people of this, we're the only state in the country that has the combination of no limits on campaign contributions and also no limits on gifts that lobbyists can give to legislators. And then another thing that people don't really, it was one of the items in the legislation that we passed in 2010 that was struck down, but it's one of the, lesser known pieces that I don't think really has gotten as much attention, but I think is very important. We put a provision in that law that made it illegal to lie to the Ethics Commission.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. When you think about the fact that, take the example of we had a state senator from St. Louis a few years ago who went to jail for lying during an investigation by the Federal Election Commission, essentially the federal level counterpart of our Ethics Commission. And if that, all of those facts, if that had happened in a state investigation, nothing would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really substantial thing because for the, we don't have anywhere near the ethics laws that we need in the state, but I think it's very important that the Ethics Commission be able to enforce the ones that we do have. And so there are just so many things that we need to do to make this system better. It's obviously, campaign contribution limits and the money laundering issue and the lobbyist stuff. That's incredibly important, and it's obviously what most people know about. But there is so much that needs to be done. It's something I feel very passionately about, and it's something that I'm going to continue to be very engaged on with this legislature.
I've always been surprised that so much of this type of legislation to make the system cleaner seems like such common sense stuff to me, and yet it doesn't pass year after year after year. There's a built-in resistance to it, which is based on what?
Well, I hesitate to assign motivations to folks, but I guess I would say that it is probably pretty natural that it is difficult to get a legislative body to pass legislation that regulates itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's understandable. That's a natural friction in the world that we have to recognize is there. But at the end of the day, whether it's the Secretary of State or a member of the legislature or anybody else, our ultimate responsibility is to the people who put us here, and it's not simply to doing everything that we can to stay here. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to serve the people who put us here. And I think that there really can't be any debate about the fact that this is an expectation that our constituents, all of us across the state, our constituents have for us.
Jason Kander, you mentioned a few minutes ago that there are unlimited donations allowed in Missouri, unlimited gifts from lobbyists. We're the only state in the country that allows such a setup. What kinds of gifts are being given from lobbyists to lawmakers? I assume they have to be reported at some point. What is being reported, and what are you seeing out there?
To be honest, I'm not much of an expert on it because throughout my time in the legislature, I never accepted any. But you know, when you look at the reports, you know, because there is transparency on it. I mean, it's, you know, it's stuff like dinners and tickets and you know, trips and all that sort of thing. And that's, you know, my attitude about that is that you know, or at least I can only speak to the reasons that I didn't ever accept personal gifts from lobbyists during my time in the legislature, and still don't, as Secretary of State. In fact, on the first day, we established a new policy within this office, prohibiting employees from accepting gifts from lobbyists as well.
Mm-hmm.
For me, as a member of the legislature, it was really about the fact that I just felt like, you know, my standard of living should not appreciably change because I got elected to a job.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that just didn't seem right to me. The idea that somehow, because I got elected to a position which, you know, it's in statute, a state representative gets, I think, $38,000 a year, the idea that I would get elected to a position at that salary and suddenly I get to go to the Super Bowl, that just didn't seem right. And it just seemed like if folks were taking you to the Super Bowl, after a while, what happens in Jefferson City is people forget who their actual constituents are and they start substituting them for the people who they spend all their time with for free. And I just don't think that's right.
Well, where are you going to live now? Kansas City and Jefferson City, or Jefferson City? What are you going to do?
Well, we're very eager to complete the transition to mid-Missouri because right now I'm living at least 5 days a week, you know, every week, a minimum of 5 days a week here in Jefferson City. I'm eager to see my wife every night and not just on weekends.
Jason, great to have you. Good luck as the new Secretary of State for Missouri. We'll be watching and wish you all the best.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You bet. That's Jason Kander, the Secretary of State of Missouri.